Hey, welcome to Guitar Knobs, the guitars, gear, noise, and nonsense podcast hosted today by these knobs.
Hey, it's Todd. This is part two of our super long episode. hope you enjoyed the first part, and we'll wrap up some conclusions and have some fun at the end of this one. I know you were missing it on the last one. I understand. Anyways, here's the next podcast.
Another thing that we are starting to see a lot more of is I'm not going to actually mic anything. Okay. So if you are living in an area where you're living in a room or whatever, where you're just like, I can't mic stuff. Fortunately, there's loads out there for you to be able to record and go actually directly in from a unit. We've actually had a couple on the show.
What are those, Todd?
Well, let me tell you.
We're all like,
So we had Black Star on.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got the Amped 1, the Amped 2, and the Amped 3. Those are really fantastic units. When's
the Amped 4 coming out?
I don't know, but probably pretty soon. And
what's an Amped 4?
Those things are handling...
makes guitars louder.
Yeah, Tony joke. Tony
those
joke.
Are handling your guitar input. Some of them have effects already built into that unit, but you can put all of your effects right into it because they have loops.
It has an effects loop, I'm sure.
It's got
sure.
an effects loop. And they have a variety of onboard amp modelers, if you want to say. You know, yeah. They don't like to say modeling anymore.
What's the output of those?
100 watt?
No, no. Like, how are you getting it into your computer?
You can plug it into a USB cabinet.
Direct okay. from that unit into there. So you don't have any kind of like weird signal like loss or distortion or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I was
like
asking.
Boom, and
that's
you can
that's
also cool. plug them into a speaker cabinet.
You can.
And they're an amp.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Exactly right. Another great thing about those is that there's also a software component that you can set up what you want your bass, your speaker modeling to be. As well as plugins that go right into like Logic and a handful of other softwares.
Mm.
Yes, John.
So is that plugin controlling the unit itself? Like, is it telling the unit how to set that up, or is it just changing whatever the unit is sending to the computer once it's in the computer?
The things that so the plugins for the computer, I believe, handle the cabinet. Response the IRs and the
but not the other functions on that.
Yeah, it doesn't control the
gotcha.
Unit.
Okay,
because I mean yeah. obviously like Line 6 has got their Helix family, which
yes, well and that, so that's yeah, another fan obviously a fantastic one. Like any of the Helix products do this, you know. So you have that unit, and the difference being, you know, like the Amped 1 doesn't have an effects and everything. It's basically here's a guitar amp varietal that goes. You guitar in, you put your own pedals and loop, do whatever, right into your computer, and you're recording.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, you know, those are about $500, I think. They sound fantastic.
Right.
So
and
when
because you,
get you
can
like
use it with a cabinet, and it's like as an amp, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredibly
you can
useful.
Use, you can
and
do
then
both.
The two is the one that added effects, and it's a lot bigger. It's red.
Yeah.
And then the three is tailored
well,
to the
that's,
metal.
That's
yeah.
the one you want.
Super high distortion.
Yeah. So there's that line, right? And then obviously you got the Helix products. You got the quad core.
Axe so effects.
There's a whole bunch
Kemper.
Of different ones. Yeah.
Kemper
Neural DSP.
11
I
rack.
Have the real amps. I don't need a
That was a real
Kemper.
Dirty look from John when yeah. I said, do you have a Kemper? He's like...
All that is to say, the point of this is that like we were just talking about like how to run into mixing and playback and blah, blah, all that stuff. If you have a computer and a guitar and some pedals, this could be this. You might just need something like this to get started. And heck, if you don't have any pedals or any amps or anything, you just have a guitar and a computer, then that's where you can get into like an HX Stomp or you know any of the other Helix products or the Quad Core or the Neural DSP. Laney has one out. The Strymon Iridium is also another really easy. And then let's not forget the bass. IR2, the bass. It got me talking about bass.
Boss.
The Boss IR2.
Yeah.
which is
perfect for basses.
Perfect for basses.
Sounds better with the Volt, apparently.
But that's a single pedal. That's a single pedal you can just put on the end of your actual pedal chain, and you're right into a computer, which is bananas.
When I do recording a guitar, I sometimes do a direct. I have amps that have a DI out. I sometimes mic an amp, or sometimes plug right in and play. I've done all of the above.
Let's not ignore that. So, like, for me, I'm a snob, and I've never found any of the direct stuff that I like. So I would use an amp, and then you either have to put it use an ISO cab, put the amp in an ISO, you know, like closet full of, you know, stuff, or use something like a captor or a Universal Audio Aux or something. You know, so that there's that whole
if you have your amp going into a Torpedo Captor X or like you said an aux, that's still using your actual amps. Right. And your point is well made. It's like I want my stuff to sound like those stuff I actually play, like live or whatever. If you are recording to create songs with people around that aren't there, like, which is also really common. I mean, if one thing that we learned about, you know, in pandemic is like, we learned how to connect without being connected. And I think there's something to be said for that. The other aspect about that is, John, you mentioned something. Somebody's come in with like a demo. So if your goal is to like, I want to record our band the way we want it to sound, and then say, here you go. This is a fantastic way to do it. And actually, Universal Audio, we've brought them up several times. They make really great stuff. They have the Universal Audio UAFX. And they state that, let's see, this is Music Radar, a relative newcomer to the pedal amp game, UA's, Universal Audio's UAFX range, features some of the most accurate recreations of classic amplifier tones we've ever heard, and all for less than $500. So that's a pedal. So we've got bigger units that can handle effects and or multiple amps, then all the way down into pedals, you can get the orange Terror Stamp, which is, it's going to sound like an orange if you like that kind of thing. Lots and lots of options that you don't have to have, like that's cutting down all the pieces in the chain, which is something to consider. If you are new to this, the less pieces you have in the chain, the more you're going to probably focus on having fun, making your music, and then building on that instead of worrying about do you have all the stuff that everybody else does.
Or do you have it all easy to set up so you don't spend what used to happen to me was I live in a small house and there's only been two times. One time I had it in my kitchen for about 3 weeks, all my gear set up. And one time I had it in the living room for about 3 months.
Have you tried the bathroom?
And I haven't tried the bathroom because I have a very small L-shaped bathroom. So, but I had that. Those are the times I had things set up where I could just go work on something. Any other time, I have all my stuff put away. Where if I want to work on something, I got an idea. By the time I get all my gear out and set up, I lost my
I know the feeling. Yeah,
yeah. I get while we're talking about all this because I want to pick
John's. The hot tone stuff too. Don't forget about that. Making all kinds of stuff. There's so many different things out there.
Here's what I want to know, Todd.
Yeah.
What are the differences between this, like the outboard simulators and modelers, and like plugins, software simulators and modelers?
Well,
someone should little shootout action with that.
That
Todd.
I don't have time for that. But other people have done
what
that.
Else are you doing,
that do have
man?
Time for it. But you bring up a good point. So we've had Blackstar on, right? And we talked about, and this is not just Blackstar. I know that there's many different makers that are doing this
episode
kind of
endorsed by.
No.
Sponsored by.
Yeah. I'm familiar with that. I'm familiar with the Helix line, right? So with the Blackstar, they have the actual amp, right, that they make. The same stuff, the same people that made the amp made the amped line of pedal amplifiers, like we talked about, the Amped 1, 2, and 3. Same people making that stuff. Then they have their, how do you want to say, their amp modeling software, which is called Architect, and they do the plugins. So it's the same people doing all of that all the way through. They are going to do everything possible to make sure that that stuff all sounds as close as possible to, you know, to what the amp sounds like.
So what keeps you from just using the plug-in version?
Nothing.
As opposed to the hardware version, unless you need the interface part of it, because that would be why you would use it.
Or some people I know, I talk to older guys all the time that buy a Helix or something, and then they immediately get rid of it because it's too deep. There's not enough knobs.
Right. That's
they
also
need
a
physical
thing.
Knobs where they can just reach over and go, dirty sound.
Menus and,
here we go.
Dirty sound.
Yeah.
Dirty.
And I'm finding more the younger guys are the ones that have a single interface, and then they just load up plugins.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, they just buy plugins from UA. And
yeah. I do both. And I have my studio, I just have a rack full of, you know, I got a Alesis MidiVerb. I got a Lexicon MX300. And I just bought a TC Helicon Voice Works Plus. Mm-hmm. These are like the Alesis MidiVerb I know is from like the 80s, 90s. But that was the first, 90s, back in that day, that was the first effect.
I had one in a guitar rack.
I want rack mount, but I never could afford it then. And then when eBay comes out in the 2000s, I was like, oh, yeah. So I started buying all those old things, and I like having it. It's nice to work. Unfortunately, nowadays, if you do go the hardware route with those things, you can't use the software to control it anymore. It just doesn't. It's not supported. So you actually have to be able to do the knobs.
Commit to that stuff.
Yeah. You're going for a sound. But I also have, you know, over the last 4 years, as Universal Audio, they have sales all the time. They have coupon codes all the time. And if I get a $20 or $25 or $50 coupon in my little shopping cart, I'll look at what they have on sale that's $75 and I'll buy it. And I'll end up, and I've ended up collecting a ton of plugins. And then if you own their hardware plugins, you also get that version of the standalone native system. So the UA Connect thing that you could subscribe to, if you own one of the plugins in that, the hardware version, you get that free too. So you could use either version.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So, I have I bought a Mac Studio about a little over a year ago that was, it's pretty powerful. So it'll run, I could run whatever plugins I want, but I also like having the outboard effects. I like the combination.
Hey, something I was going to ask you when we were talking about options here, just to kind of pick your expertise a little bit. Let's assume that most of our listeners are probably guitar players, bass players, you know, string instruments. And they do want to use their rig and their pedals and everything. They want to mic it up. Do you have suggestions for one or two microphones that would be a good go-to for a very neutral capture guitar sound? Like
just use it like a 57. 57? It's just going to be the...
Elaborate. We have to get out of our inside baseball stuff, guys.
Like a 57 is a microphone that
is a Shure SM57.
If you don't know what a 57 microphone is,
don't judge. This is a no judgment zone, John.
We may have a listener that just bought his first guitar yesterday.
Listeners, we apologize. Okay.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah.
So Shure is spelled
S-H-U-R-E. We sincerely apologize for insulting your intelligence.
That's also important.
That is.
Because you're not
going to
find it with S-U-R-E.
Yes. So that is the standard mic of choice for most clubs and everything.
Everywhere. Like even high end recording studios use a 57.
Yeah.
Yep.
No one's using a 58. No one's using a 58. That's ridiculous.
Okay. Anyways,
wow. You have deeply insulted John.
I know.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
How about a Beta 57?
But that's cheap, and that's going to do the job for you in your bedroom as well as anything else.
That's a good, cheap one. What if they wanted to level up a little bit?
That's what we use. Right.
If they want to level up a little bit.
So they got $200 or $300, maybe $400 spend, you know? So they don't want to go with the cheapest.
Maybe a Sennheiser 421 is a good-sounding mic. But if I'll tell you what I use.
There you go. Okay.
So what I do is I take a U87, which is a Neumann. It's an expensive mic. You can get clones of that. They're much, much less. Mm-hmm. I use that, and I use a Royer R121 ribbon microphone, which you could probably use one of those SE ribbon microphones.
They
those
make Voodoo, good ribbon mics.
Yeah, the Voodoo ribbon mics from SE are inexpensive, also sound great on guitars. And I blend those two together. Then I have a room mic, but okay, you're not going to have a room mic.
Okay, so both those are up close.
They're both up close, and I blend them together because...
And you know what? Speaking of that, speaking of options and affordability and stuff, Warm Audio actually has...
Of course they do.
Versions of most of these mics for pretty good... I'm just saying they're out there, you know?
Yep. Oh, I know.
Yep, yep. So, so you blend and you say blend two of those. What I did forever live, because I didn't, you know, you don't want to take a ribbon mic. You can, but on a small live stage, you're going to pick up, you know, somebody sneezing across stage with that thing. And
I don't know if you will with those. A really? Ribbon mic is typically
bi-directional,
but yeah,
yeah,
I bet you'd be fine. Because the thing is, Todd?
I'm trying to think. I forgot the name of my own mic. They drape them over the top.
That's like a 609 or something.
609,
yeah, right?
Sennheiser?
906.
Yeah,
the
Sennheiser.
906.
Yeah. Yeah. You like a little the dangly one?
Well, I don't.
It's easy.
That's
what
you like?
Too. Yeah.
And I got a mount for that for the actual...
He's fancy.
You can put it on the bottom of your combo amp, and it...
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah, right. That is kind of cool.
You
know,
it's really cool.
You get a little wedgie.
Forever when I was doing live, and even just basic project tracking, it was a 57 and old 421 I had.
Yeah,
And I liked it. It was great. And actually, why I switched the 906, I was doing the marathon years ago, and I don't remember...
609.
906.
The 906? What the hell is a 906?
I think it's an upgraded... tells me they had a 609 and they came out with a 906 a couple years ago.
Just to confuse people like me.
Yeah. So here's the history. The 409 is the original one.
It's the E906.
The one from way back that if you go on eBay now, it's like $800. And that's the one that the guys OG. Drool over. Right, exactly. They released the 609, which was supposed to be an affordable version of it. 15 years ago, right?
They were like $100, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So one and a half or something originally, yeah. Something like that. And then they released the 906, I don't know, let's say 7-8 years ago. I had a 609, you know, I'm kind of anal about stuff. So I did a shoot out of a whole bunch of mics. I tried a 609. That is a absolute terrible sounding microphone. It is.
Yeah, it got raked across the coals.
The 609 is horrible. The 906 is very close to a 409. A buddy of mine's got an old 409. It's actually very, very close to it.
Huh.
And now those all are right. cheap too.
And one of the reasons is you can actually dial in. Mm-hmm. There's a selector the E906 that you can either go high, go low, go in the middle. Depending on what kind of.
But I'm saying like flat to flat. If you take the 609 and that, just leave it flat. It's like that one sounds broken.
When did the 409 come out?
70s, late 70s or something. It's old.
But the amp that we're talking about on the Sennheiser show is the 906 is I think $199.
Yeah, it keeps coming down in price. Oh, that's why I was going to bring that up. That I switched to that one. Somebody let me borrow it to shoot out, and it was very similar to a 421 mixed with a 57.
Oh.
It's because, you know, the 420.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was kind of like, oh, I don't have to use two channels.
Right.
Anytime you go to somebody, especially live, and go, I need two channels, and they're like, you got a 112 amp. What the?
Yeah.
But anyway, right. So
they tell you they're giving you two channels, and they only plug one in.
Yeah. I knew
that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, great. Awesome. That's really cool, man. One.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
But we do the same thing when they tell us to change our tone, and we flip that little fake switch.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
well, there's that, too.
So that is a great solution, especially for in-home amp, because, I mean, Rob, I'm with you. I think it sounds way better than just the 57 alone, personally. But
yeah, Beyer makes an M201 that is also fantastic on guitars.
Beyer?
Beyer. B-E-Y-E-R.
B-E-Y-E-R. M21?
M201 TG, actually.
201 TG. M201 TG. All right.
Yeah, it's another dynamic mic.
Now, while you guys are driving, just go ahead and look that up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about some amps. We talked about a lot of things. Holy cow. Anything what that majorly that yeah, we have left much. Off?
I would say the next topic should be cables.
Okay.
Because I'm a person that when I first started playing, I would go to the guitar shop and I would spend $5 on a cable. And the guy working there would say, hey, you know, for $20, you can get this really nice one. And I would look at him and say, I'm not spending $20 on a cable.
I can get four of those other cables. So
over the years, I kind of did that. And then finally, it happened about, I don't know, some years ago, I was playing guitar with one of my friends. And my rig wasn't working because my cables. So it was at that point where I now do not use crappy cables ever. I always buy either a Mogami Gold or Rattlesnake. And those are the two that those are my go-tos. And I think the main thing is for your like input, your instrument and your inputs and your monitors, you want to make sure you have reliable, well-built cables. I believe. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important.
And I'll go along with that. I don't necessarily think you need to go with brand names like a Proco or a Rapco, just good belt and cables with
right. Yeah, ends. And I just said those names because I just now bought a bunch of them.
One nice thing about Rattlesnake, he's got the Rattlesnake.
Those amp
on the
cables
show.
Are so good.
They really are. And, you know what? They are always doing great sales and stuff. And he's a friend of our podcast.
Yeah, so he's actually very cool.
Check out Rattlesnake. Those things are great. And also, I will also plug Divine Noise for the actual guitar to whatever instrument. So your instrument cable. Mm. Yeah. I got the 50-50 coily. I love that thing.
Okay, I remember that.
A coily?
It's half coily
and half.
For live, I hope.
Yeah.
Not for the studio.
Not for the studio, but they also make non-coily ones. I'm just saying.
As you uncoil a coil, really great. It changes the frequency on what it picks up.
Todd, do you really do that for the...
Is that true?
No,
the elasticity of it or for the capacitance drop?
The elasticity. That's great. Okay. So that I have a shorter cable, but I can go... I can, you know, I don't have a pile of cable.
That's great for live stuff.
Yeah.
Just for the studio, people come in with a fully like coiled one.
No.
That's an 80-foot cable you're bringing in here to move it like four feet. Stop it.
Well, but I think I kind of figured out, just speaking of cables, I know, you know, this is just what they say, but I know for a guitar cable, 18'6" is like a number that is people say is the max, because over that you're going to lose some treble from the capacitance of the cable. And then whenever I saw that, I remember my friend and I were discussing, and I said, well, maybe that's why Jimi Hendrix used the coiled cable, because he had a Strat, which have a lot of high end, and that kind of tamed some of it. Mm.
That's true.
That's when you're thinking too much about gear stuff.
John, that's what I do.
I need this coily cable so I can run around the stage a little bit.
I bet you so.
Yeah. And not pull over the amp.
And the X Factor, the whole, I don't know why, 18.6, I remember years and years ago, people say you have a greater chance of picking up straight frequencies, because capacitance, it would change depending on what cable you have, because every different type of cable has a different capacitance per foot. So for one cable, the magic number, you wouldn't notice the frequency drop until 8.5 feet. Another one might be 11 and a half, whatever. But I always heard it was the 20-foot rule was frequency. I don't even want to think if that could actually be true, but, you know.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that
stick in your head. Now, let's talk about just on our way. I think we're close to wrapping on this. There's a couple things I want to hit. Number one, John, you have to control an awful lot of things in a room. And David, you're probably going to start running right into this. When you have that many things plugged in, and that many things requiring electricity, when you get all your thing hooked up and you're like, yes, and you turn it on, and it's like, noise.
60 cycle.
Electric noise. Not even that. I mean, just like electrical noise in the signal.
This is a Rob question. I can feel it being
Rob. I have that in my house.
I'll give you an example.
Bad.
So we were working on a pedal. We were breadboarding a pedal, and we went to go plug it in. I was with Matt, my drummer, who's the electronic genius, and we turned on, and it was just making horrible racket. And he's like, "Geez, I don't know." And then he's like, "Oh, the
Do you have the
desk
the
lamp?
Yeah.
The fluorescent desk lamp. Maybe turn that off and it was bone quiet. And that's like one of those things. People aren't necessarily thinking, oh, I shouldn't have a strip with strips plugged into strips. Maybe that's creating noise.
I got one for you there.
Yeah.
No dimmers.
Yeah.
No dimmers. Okay.
Can't put any wall dimmers. Even if they're up all the way, it's still going to cause serious noise problems.
Interesting.
Yeah. And likewise, and you don't want any of the fluorescent lights that have the ballasts in them.
Yeah.
That's another no-no.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the old desk lamps have those in them. The fluorescent desk lamps, they have that.
Did that have a dimmer in it, Matt's?
No, it had the ballast in it.
I live in a house that was built in the 1920s. And the plugs have no ground except for in the back room. So I always plug the guitar. I plug a extension cord into a Furman Powers regulator. But every time I would play my electric guitar, I get a and when I turn, it would get less and more. And I have lived with this for 20 years. And
for a new house.
And I researched it, electromagnetic interference. And the one thing I did was I watched there was a YouTube video of a guy who had that same problem. So what he did was he put a battery powered amp on his guitar and walked around, and he went outside and his got worse. And he went and he saw a big transformer in the yard next to his, and the closer he got to that, the louder it was.
Well, he shouldn't record there.
So what I did was, I'm going to do the same thing. So I put a little headphone amp in my guitar, put my headphones on. I'm walking around. It's noisy, noisy, noisy. I walked outside, and it was quiet. And then I went around the corner, and it started back up. And I went over to our utility company is called PG&E. I went to my PG&E meter, and I held the guitar next to it, and it was just this piercing loud. It's my electricity that's doing it. It's not a dimmer. It's not the fluorescent. I turn all that stuff off, and I still had that noise. Mm. And what I would do was I have recordings where, you know, I try to noise gate it, but I leave it in. And I was, for years, just, you know, I've lived in this house for 20 years, and I'm a guitar player, and all my electric guitar recordings sound like crap because of that. But I'm happy to report in my new space, the electricity's nice and clean. I have my own circuit coming from downstairs, and everything's just
I was
going to
say, that's
separate.
The actual what fixed it, because you said your original wiring in the house was original
1920s. Yeah, my old house
grounded.
Wiring.
You may not even have a circuit ground to your box, and if it is, it's definitely not tied to your outlets. So
right,
once that's severed, then...
But if I plug one of those ground testers into the back utility room... The ground light says okay.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's the only spot. Everywhere else, there's no ground and all the old wiring.
And that still doesn't mean it. And here's a weird thing about ground. A ground is not a ground is not a ground. You just can't tie grounds together randomly. They have to be wired in a certain progression, if you will. And the rod has to be a certain way.
Oh my gosh,
this has
my
to
head
go
hurts.
To, no, it has to go to the box. Then it has to go out.
You heard
be
rod,
distributed.
Didn't you?
and if it's not, then it actually doesn't work.
Right. And I'm sure you're right. Yeah. That's the problem. But
because I had the new shop built, and I had a separate panel put on that. And at the same time, I had a new main panel put on, and I had them run a new ground rod and redo the whole ground scheme.
So
to get rid of noises.
Rob, if you have a transformer that is nearby, what do you do to...
The transformer usually isn't a problem, and again, because that, I mean, if you have a transformer, yeah, like literally a transformer, not nearby, but like mounted on, and not the electric inbox, the meter,
right.
But I'm talking like a transformer mounted on the side of your house, yeah, that'd be a problem, but they don't put them there for a reason, because there's thousands of volts in there.
Right.
It's not the same.
Well,
That
YouTube guy actually...
like a giant transformer.
Well, like
how... Like out on a pole... I'm just curious, how do you block that?
Right. Well, that YouTube guy actually called the power company, and they came out and fixed it.
Would that be enough? I mean, because if you're at, I don't know, 300 feet, would that be enough that it would?
We'll talk.
Yeah, anyways.
I still think it's your grounds here.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways, that's a whole other thing. So what I'm trying to get to is, in a standard home, not in a studio or a building that you just built, things to look out for to help your noise situation could be.
So here's what you do. Hopefully your house is grounded.
Yes.
And for live too. Plug everything into the same circuit.
plug everything in the same circuit.
If you have several things on different circuits, especially because all the stuff for a small studio. Now,
when
studio,
we're saying circuit, that doesn't necessarily mean the same, just all everything into one box.
You mean in one outlet?
Yes.
Not necessarily, but it actually doesn't matter. Because let's say you have a room that has two circuits on it, two different breakers, two 15-amp breakers in a box, and you want at least everything in your recording setup, your rack or whatever, on one circuit. They can go into one outlet or all four outlets. That's the same thing.
Right.
But you don't want to split those, because once you split those, you have a possibility for a ground loop.
Got it.
And that's the biggest cause for noise for people in a studio.
Right. Right. So they should research that this set of plugs in their house is a different breaker than that one over there.
Exactly. Know which ones are tied together.
Absolutely. And actually, a lot of the components that we talked about, a lot of those actually feature things that solve for ground loop on them as well. Now, I'm not saying that's the magic pill.
Most of them
that
do. It's a
everything.
Ground right. lift. It yeah. lifts the ground on one piece to stop that loop,
right.
but that can create other problems.
Yeah.
So
you have to A-B it, see if it
A-B
works.
A-B it, man. Yeah. Just, you know, do the A-B-ing.
Tony, what do you think about ground looping?
I love ground looping.
Great. Yeah. Todd?
Well, since you asked me that, I have one other thing to wrap this up, which is at the end of the day, and this is something that I don't have solved yet, so I'm feeling the pain from it. So if you are considering doing this, we have mentioned this loosely, but I want to hammer this home. Create a space that you have what you need, but you don't have to reinstate it and tear it down every single time that you use it. Make a place that you can just dip into, and you can just play, and you can enjoy that time, and then you can think about what you're doing, not think about how you're going to do the thing that you're going to do. Too much stuff, too complicated of a space, too many things, you know, compounding into each other. Just keep it, simple, and just keep it
and
usable.
Like what David said, where he'd set up, then he'd have to tear it down.
That's what I have to do, and it makes it.
Oh, that's
I've got a huge list of pedal demos and stuff that I really need to do.
You need to have at least a basic thing that you can walk down and within 2 to 3 minutes have things up.
Right. And mine's more complicated.
I think if that's your goal, you need to have more inputs, and they don't need to be the highest quality if you're just trying to get ideas down.
Mm.
So spend the money on more inputs and less quality, as opposed to super high quality and less inputs.
Maybe. That's a thing.
You can leave that set up. You can leave multiple things set up.
I guess that's true if your plan is to track a drum kit. Because my crutch studio, I used to have like all the drums mic'd up into one interface, and then
this is a guitar show. It's a guitar show.
I know.
Screw the drums.
There we go. Okay.
Anyways,
we've been shot.
What
down,
about
John.
Keyboards?
Keyboards.
That's
kind
of
cool.
What I was thinking.
We're a guitar show.
You're like putting down ideas. I mean,
but there's
a lot
also
of that stuff is just you can go directly in
with
to
more
your
inputs.
Computer with MIDI and stuff. So
if you're just recording your I get these ideas, or I have a song I'm working on and I have an idea about it. It doesn't have to be a great recording. Just plug in and play. I've even done them on my phone so I don't forget them, because I'll forget it. Mm-hmm. And then when you're going to be, okay, today, like during this week, I had all these ideas, and then today I'm going to put them together. Then I sit down and go through my preamps and make it all sound good and make a nice recording of it. But to get those ideas down, you're very right. You just have to get something that's quick and ready to
go. Everything's all set up.
Yeah, ready to go.
Yeah, and just leave it. I want to get to a place where I can actually do that, but I can't because my space doesn't allow it, and I'm juggling a lot of different things, and I have to switch them out for like, well, now I got to do this, now I got to do that. And it's not conducive to dipping in and like recording stuff.
Right. My studio is a half a mile from my house, so
that's pretty
usually
great.
If I'm going to go there, I instead of going there right after work, I'll stop at home first and eat dinner. My son lives with me. He cooks dinner, and I'll tell him, hey, I'm going to be home at 7 o'clock, and he'll have dinner made. I eat it, and I go right to the studio and start working right there, and it's just perfectly set up.
Yep. Sounds good. Obviously, we didn't talk about a lot of the actual softwares that did all that stuff, you know, Logic, and just find the one that is going to work for you and just start there. You don't have to go gonzo and get the very best thing of everything.
I'm curious though. Yeah. What are you using?
I use Logic, and I'm trying to use Luna that comes with Universal Audio because it does. There's some plugins I have that only work on it, and it does a few more things, but I'm still 99.9% Logic.
Logic.
Yeah. And you use
Pro Tools.
Okay. Yeah.
John?
Pro Tools.
Yeah.
And you have Pro Tools at your place?
Mm-hmm. Well, I did until I tore my studio down 2 years ago. So.
Oh.
Yeah, a little Digi 002.
There's something for just about every kind of nice. Price range. So,
yeah. Anyways, I think Logic is only like $200.
Logic is fantastic, but if you're on Mac, I mean, it's only a Mac thing. So, yeah,
Logic's only a Mac thing.
Yeah,
yeah, they're not gonna.
It's, you know what? Apple it's product. Probably a it's probably a subscription now.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They get you on the subscription.
You could buy it for $200.
Yeah,
yeah. I think Logic you can buy for Mac, but they made a Logic iPad that's a prescription subscription.
Or prescription.
Yeah. I went to my doctor and said, "Yeah, this guy needs Logic to
run it through insurance."
All right, I think we've covered about as much as we can. I think there's going to have to probably be a two-parter.
Now, why don't you like the playback at 1.2 speed? Why don't you do playback? Like speed up the playback.
Why?
Because that way you can fit into one episode.
Yeah, no.
A two-parter would be great.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a two-parter. But anyways, let's dip out of this. We hope that we have at least opened up a couple areas of thought and discussion. If you've been on the verge for trying to figure this out for yourself, hopefully this has been helpful. And if you have questions about this, send emails to Rob.
Tony. And, nope. I'll be forwarding them all to Tony.
But for now.
I make pick guards.
I don't
we've
know.
We've got a would you rather.
Good.
We've got a would you rather. This is the problem without doing this when we have no headphones is that everybody's just going. All right.
That's great.
Tony?
I have half a headphone on.
Would you rather.
Thank you, David.
That's amazing, Tony. How'd you make it come out of his mouth? Yeah,
incredible.
Not okay. As good as Jared.
David, go ahead, and you're bringing our Would You Rather tonight.
Okay, so my Would You Rather. I've been thinking about this one for a long time. So let's say you are a multifaceted guitarist, and you have a choice of two gigs to do. Number one. You could play your trusty old faithful acoustic guitar, whether it be a Martin, a Gibson, a Taylor, or whatever.
A Guild.
Or a Guild.
Cortez.
Or a First Act. And you're going to play to a room of 60 people. And those 60 people are going to be right in the very intimate setting of a small room, say no bigger than this or a little bigger than this. And you're going to have a deep human connection with your music to each person in that room.
Hmm.
Or you're in your band playing your electric guitar, your Les Paul or your SG or your Rickenbacker.
Thank you.
And you're in an opening band for a big, gigantic name, and there's, instead of 60 people, there's 60,000 people.
Ooh.
But you're going to play for them. But it's just going to be a sea of faces that aren't even paying attention to you because you're the opening band.
They hate you.
They may boo you off the stage, but there's 60,000 people.
Okay.
So.
That's a good question. We haven't really fully had that one. That's a good question. Tanya.
That's a good question.
Yes. Why don't we hear your good answer?
My good answer, I think I'm going to go with option one, acoustic guitar, 60 people.
Okay.
That's all I need. And then if I make a mistake, there's only 60 people I have to answer to.
That's totally fair.
But no, I think that, you know, sometimes those intimate connections can be some of my favorite shows that I've gone to see.
What?
Yeah. have been, you know, small. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Some of my favorite shows were at Borders Bookstore in the cafe, and I mean there were some pretty big acts that came through there, and they would do these small acoustic gigs.
At least half of our audience just said what?
Borders Bookstore. Borders. Kind of like a Barnes & Noble. Yes.
Except is that the place where you go by where they print those web pages and those things on the paper?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, having that kind of intimate connection, I think, with an artist is very, I think it's preferable to being booed off the stage by 60,000 angry people waiting for the next band.
Wait a minute. You didn't say for sure you're being booed off the stage.
Not necessarily.
There's a chance that they like you.
I just say they're not paying, you're not really connecting with any of them. They're there.
They're not interested.
John is taking effect at your assumptions.
I think. Why are would you like to step outside, sir?
I think it's funny that Tony is assuming people are booing him.
I'm appalled at your assumptions.
What's that?
Tony's just assuming that people are going to boo him.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm used to.
Like, so they're booing me, right? So they're booing me, right? I just want to check.
I like less people booing me.
Yeah. Okay, right. John.
Okay. I'm going to take the 60,000 because the less connection I have with anyone, the better.
Yeah, that is your so kind of way of life.
Play it and move on with
that
my life.
That is 100% your mantra.
It absolutely
is. Amazing. Who knew we were going to isolate your single isotope of humanity
right.
by into this kind question. Of a question?
Or lack
into
of.
Into the wood. Yes.
An introverted recording engineer.
Your lack of humanity.
All right, Rob.
I'm going to go with John. Not to isolate, just the opposite. I think 60,000.
Who does that, right? Who gets to do that?
Well, yeah, and you have a chance to make this
they might
bigger
you.
Than life
they
thing happen. You. Even if you're the opener of the opener of the opener.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Even if you only connect with 0.1% of the people, you know, it's like, holy
that's
crap.
Still six.
Yes, that is
0.1%?
Six.
Of 60,000?
I don't know. Don't look at me.
He's bad.
You guys are no math majors.
I don't know.
All right.
Okay,
David.
So since personally I have done most of my gigs are acoustic for small. I play at wineries and events. And why I thought of this was I have always wanted to play for a huge crowd. And so I'm going to choose that. Whether they've connected with me or not, I just want to stand up there and play my guitar and just see a sea of people. I've seen that happen, you know, from videos, and you're just like, wow, what does that even feel like? Whether they're totally into me or not, it's okay because they're going to be there, and I'm going to get that feedback from them, and that's kind of what something I want to do.
Yeah.
It is close, though. It's close. They're both pretty cool, honestly.
Todd, what would you do?
Well,
what would you rather do?
Yeah,
Todd. You're used to 60,000 all the time.
I'm 100% taking that 60,000 business for sure.
You guys are all losers.
No way. I want.
You call yourself musicians?
I want to rock.
Suffer for your art.
Yeah,
bunch of corporate shills.
Yeah.
How many streams does that get us?
Back to Tony Island,
indeed.
See, this is a problem with me going first.
I know.
I always have to be on the island.
Yes.
Yeah, and we're always like, well, we don't want to be like Tony.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, gentlemen, this has been very exciting. It has been maybe even lovely. All righty, Tony, we got a bunch of people we need to thank.
That is correct, Todd. At this point of the show, there's a special group of people we love to thank. These are our executive producers.
Yes.
Now, an executive producer makes this show possible. How do you become one? Very easy. Head over to patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Check out a couple of different levels in which you can participate, become a patron, a sponsor, a hero, a friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Each level comes with some very nice thank you gifts, and I do mean very nice. And giveaways?
Lots
of giveaways.
Yep.
We got
constantly.
We gave away two of the warm audio pedals.
If I could give something away every single week, I would just be so happy.
You said something about some other guitar knob pedal.
The stuff's coming up, man.
We're giving it away, and it goes to the people that help support the show.
That's correct.
But in addition to all that great stuff,
yes,
there's one thing more.
Yes,
what would that be?
David? They get to have their name read on the thing.
Your name read on the thing.
Yes.
And that's what I'm going to do right now. So special thanks to these executive producers, John Sebastian, Trevor Ellenberg, Cameron Pampas, James Bell, Michael Furman, Eric Hemmer, Brett Hogarth, Gregory Randall, Don Kloss, Ralph Gottschalk from Wonderful Audio Technology. What? Rusty Sneeden, Vader and Pedals, John Halverson, Rick Calhoun, Trevor Gunberg, Elad Mizrahi, Richard Kendall, James Pennington, James White, Justin Jones, John Esterly, Anthony Lathrop, Stefan Lamb, Michael Senchuk, Ken Sayers, Darren Gregory, and Tom Brazen.
Man, all right.
But wait, Todd, there's more because there's a special group of executive producers. We like to call them our grand poopas.
Yes.
These are the creme de la creme, the top of the heap, the A number ones.
Yes.
And they wear a fez upon their head.
And we might be moving them all into one of P. Diddy's vacated premises now. I'm not really sure.
Too soon?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's wait till he moves out officially. Okay. So special thanks to these grand poobas. Adam Johnson, Anthony Gemolero, Billy Spitfire Unlimited, Bob Crouch, Brian Robison, Cody Foster, David Kaminga, David Tyndall, Enrico Fernando, Fox Hill Studio, X Matos, Jack Cadian, James Pennington, John Williams, LSJ Music Company, Matt Hart, Michael Van Zandt, Michio Murakishi.
Michio,
yes. Moon Guitars, Paul Von Eppinger, Sam Jett, Science of Sound, Steve Keys, Tyler Rines, Zach Oswald from Brandon Wham Pickups, and a new grand pooba, Jimmy Newton.
That's right.
Yay, Jimmy.
Thank you all for supporting our show.
Thank you.
And David, you're sitting right here, so like we're saying this to you. You are the proxy. The harbinger of the rest of the patrons.
Yes.
Thank you.
It is my pleasure, and I think I speak for all the executive producers and poobahs that we appreciate the show because, like I told you a couple years ago, just listening to this show makes me feel really smart about guitars.
Good.
It's always learning something new.
I do that every single time. I learned things tonight, and we hope.
Oh, I learned a bunch of stuff tonight.
Yeah, you did.
Rob and Tony do a great job.
Thank you, Rob.
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, all right. So, David, where can people find and see what you're up to?
Progress
on your studio and stuff?
I'm on all the regular Instagram, Facebook. I have a Reverb Nation page with some songs. They're all technically demo versions, but that's all I have. But just David Kaminga, K-A-M-M-I-N-G-A. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. And I am always down to talk guitars and gear and nonsense and noise with anyone. So
awesome.
Hit me up.
Perfect. John?
Yes?
Relay Recording.
What about it?
Where can people either
RelayRecording.com
send you stuff to mix or master or come record
John, at? J-O-N, at RelayRecording.com. I have a playlist on Spotify that is under John Fintel, J-O-N-F-I-N-T-E-L.
On Spotify?
On Spotify.
Okay.
And you can hear what I do.
And anything on the Instagram or anything?
Oh, yeah. I have Relay Recording.
Relay Recording.
On Instagram. On Instagram. And John Fintel on John Fintel. Instagram.
With no H.
No H.
Yes,
it's Jonathan. Jonathan.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just John.
All right, thanks, John. All right.
Thanks, Todd.
Rob Chafe, Mad Cow Amplification, Facebook, Jeffy. Instagram. I think that's it.
And if you need an amp looked at, Rob Chafe's the guy.
Yes.
I had him fix one of my amps a few years ago.
He looks at him and then
gives
you the bad news.
Not so much.
Thumbs down.
Tony, how about yourself?
Go to pickguardian.com, check out what I do, I make pick guards. Let me know what you need. Shoot me an email. I can make ugly guitars pretty again.
That's good.
I can make your guitar even more you.
Even more you. I like that. You can shoot me a DM on Instagram at Guitar Knobs. We would love to hear from you. Tell us what you think of the show. Tell us what you are up to. Whatever it may be. Give us a Would You Rather for Pete's sakes. We love those.
Oh, yes.
You can also listen to the Villantinos on Spotify.
Go ahead recorded and, right here at Relay Recordings.
That's right. John recorded those fantastic things. And besides that, David, thank you for joining us tonight. This is really fun.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, John.
What I did was I knew I was going to go look at the eclipse and take pictures of it. And I don't know, 6 months ago, I looked at the map and I said, Columbus, Ohio.
Bing.
That's the guitar knob. So I messaged Todd and I made it to where this was another great aspect of my trip. So,
perfect.
And I'm glad I did. I start because I didn't know what the weather was going to be yesterday, if it was going to be cloudy and I was going to get skunked out on the eclipse. I've been telling people that I'm going to Columbus to be on a guitar
podcast.
It's always
sunny here.
And if I get a chance to shoot the eclipse, I will.
Ah, perfect. We love that. That's very kind of you.
And I was successful in the eclipse, and I have my photos on my social media. So
there you go. Check them out. All right, everybody. Have a fantastic guitar week. Go start your own music studio and subscribe.
What?
Yeah.
At this point in the show, we insert the outtakes.
Yes.
Click, you bumbling fool.
I don't understand the point today since...
You don't have to.
Loser.
Don't do it.
Okay.
You don't have any. Tell you what, let's just do this.
We're going to need a bigger mixer.
So where? How do you get it into here?
But I mean, for all this stuff, right here, would have a two-track digital USB in.
Well, two are the same.
Okay.
Well, three are the same.
Yeah, because otherwise, with the headphones on, it's difficult to hear him.
Oh, it's
that's
yeah,
and that's a bad thing because. Thanks, you Todd, for remembering me.
Of course. Did you stop it?
I didn't stop anything.
Don't stop it. Don't stop it now.
Yeah. It's...
Because we're having a good time. Having a good time.
Are we? I don't. Just start reading off the names. While we're all talking, just keep going.
If you give me a clean list, I'd be able to do it in no time.
And I'm
there you go, Tony.
Okay.
All right. Give me a clap.
Okay.
No, yours don't count. He already has the clap.
He's off in the Dominican Republic.
Someplace.
Yeah.
Oh, he's doing that.
Someone will have to do the voice
thing where he gets forced to go to the beach, gets burned badly. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. He comes back like this.
Like a lobster.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to the beach and I got all burned. I hate the beach.
Yeah.
Didn't have enough sunscreen for all of me.
What was it? What's the question? What are you doing? What's happening? What's going on?
Hang on.
At any point.
You just sit your ass
I have
there.
To,
for real. Just go.
That mother.
Oh! I love that. I love that movie. Are you kidding me? Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Not mother.
That was the funniest part of the movie.
It was.
I've got to go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom?
Not mother.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Does this include me?
We'll do that.
Okay. Do it with some kind of rhythm, though.
Okay, ready? Do it. What do you mean?
Like a backbeat?
Like you want me
like
to dance or something?
One,
like
two,
one, and
there
three.
You go. Give us an eighth note. We need an eighth
Thank
note.
Thank you, Bubby and the Sissy.
My one.
Okay, wait. Legit, hang on. Just let me just get one decent clap in, okay? That should do it.
I don't like it.
Six, right?
One,
oh my God.
Two, three. That was good.
That was pretty good. That was about only a 1 millisecond.
Yeah, it was. It's just a beat off.
Don't do that.
Unless you guys are right on.
Two. Let's try it. Try it. John, come on.
An idiot.
Should we get an M80?
So stupid.
I think.
Let's go.
That's the most
uncomfortable. Okay, come on.
I think you could.
And away we go.
Well, that's it for these knobs. Please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Visit our website at theguitarknobs.com for all of our past episodes, Four on the Floor blog, and other good stuff. You can connect with us on social too at our Facebook page and share your gear and stories on our Facebook group. Also, be sure to check out our Instagram at guitarknobs. Catch you next time.